This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. On January 16, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments this spring in four cases that could lead to legally recognizing same-sex marriage in all 50 states. One of those cases is from Michigan, that of Jane Rouse and April DeBoer. The two women from Hazel Park want to marry in order to co-adopt their four children. Their attorney is Dana Nessel. And if you think that state and national civil rights groups and gay rights groups are stepping up to help in this potentially historic case, think again. It's quite often the opposite. Steve Fries digs into the situation in a story for Bloomberg Politics titled, For Lawyers, A Rocky Walk Down the Gay Marriage Aisle. Steve, we have talked on this program with Dana Nessel, and I know she's been working on this case for, what, over 3 years. It's now before the U.S. Supreme Court. And she's saying many of the biggest gay rights groups in the nation didn't even want her to file this case in the first place?
Now, what's interesting about what's happened in the gay movement nationally, this is not just Michigan, but in a lot of places, is that the national gay legal groups, which would be groups like Lambda Legal Defense and the ACLU's Marriage Project, they had a national strategy that they sort of expected would work for getting gay marriage in the Supreme Court. That strategy seemed to have had to do with suing in specific places where they thought they could make good case law that would then get copied elsewhere. The problem is they don't have control over who actually files lawsuits. And in this particular case, Dana Nessel was the first attorney. There are now two others in this case, but she was the one that this couple came to in 2011 because they were concerned about what might happen to their kids if one of them had some terrible thing happen to them.
And I'm going to just put myself in their shoes, yeah. In Jane and April's shoes. I would think the big groups would be saying, go you, cheering me on, helping me on.
The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals is the Court of Appeals that oversees four Midwest states, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. It is known as a more conservative Court of Appeals than some of the others around the country. So the fear was that if a case gained steam in one of these four states, or in this case, all of these four states, that it would get up to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals would knock down the idea that there was a constitutional right to gay marriage, and that would create case law that would be hard to overcome. Instead, what ended up happening, and nobody really could have foreseen the way this worked out, there was this major decision at the Supreme Court in 2013 in which the court, by a 5-4 margin, ruled that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional because it denied gay people the same access to a benefit or a privilege as straight people. And while that ruling was about the federal court, it was then immediately applied to courts all over the country looking at state-level marriage bans.
Certainly.
So now what we had was we had this series over the course of about a year and change of legal decisions that went almost entirely towards the pro-gay rights side. If it wasn't for the fact the Sixth Circuit voted against this, if it wasn't for the fact that they actually did what the activists were afraid of in the first place, the case wouldn't be at the Supreme Court now because there wouldn't be any disagreement among circuits.
And what is not happening or is happening with these groups now for supporting Dana? She and her team have been working pro bono all this time, haven't they?
They've been working pro bono on this case for 3 years. And the case that is different, in fact, than almost all of the other challenges to state-level marriage bans because Judge Bernard Friedman decided he wanted to have a trial, a proper trial with testimony and cross-examination. That's expensive. It takes expensive expert witnesses. It takes a certain type of preparation that these other cases around the country that you may have heard of didn't have because in every other case, these decisions were made almost on paper with some oral arguments. Various lawyers would file things to a federal judge. The federal judge would listen to the oral arguments and then rule. There was never any actual testimony. So this case was much more elaborate. It's been going on a lot longer, and it has been expensive. What Dana has been frustrated by, as she told me, was that it is expensive, and she's not necessarily looking for payment for her time But there are other expenses that she and her team say could add up to about $1 million. I'm not completely sure I understand what the breakdown of that $1 million is, but it is worth knowing that $1 million, if she says that's what it costs, $1 million was what one person gave, Rob Reiner, the actor, when the same groups were challenging the California gay marriage ban in 2009. It sounds like a lot of money, and maybe it is, and somebody before they give it should ask exactly how they're going to spend it, but there are a lot of rich people in this country who won't miss it.
Well, what's interesting is when you try to talk to groups, both national and state level gay rights and human rights groups, to ask about the lack of support for Dana, because she's finding, A, she's not getting funding, and B, if they are interested, they're saying, well, we'll take it over. You can step off.
Right,
now.
Right.
After all of this.
Which has happened in a lot of other states. In fact, all three other states that are going to Supreme Court are cases in which there were local attorneys who filed them. In some cases, Lambda or other groups tried to dissuade that. Okay. And then in some latter stage, the national groups came in to help legally.
So in the other three states, those local attorneys were willing to say, all right, I'll hand you the keys to the car if that's what it entails. Let's just get this to the Supreme
Court. It's difficult. Look, it is expensive. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, these are not lawyers who have ever dealt with courts of appeals or Supreme Courts. It is a distinct skill set that not everybody can just do. I mean, you know, there's this great sort of David and Goliath sort of sense and aura around what Dana and her team have done. I mean, it's a great heartwarming.
It's a great narrative.
Narrative. And it is true. Mm-hmm. But it takes a certain level of skill. You know, it's not that they haven't gotten any help at all. They got a little bit of money along the way from some groups. They've gotten some help in terms of reviewing and writing briefs and things like that. But when it comes to things like, how do we give this couple money for a babysitter so they can deal with the press? I mean, you know, it is a maelstrom that this couple is in the middle of.
Sure.
They've now had profiles in USA Today and the New York Times, and it all takes time from them, and they are not wealthy people. They're a pair of nurses with four children. They have a lot to do, and they have a lot of expenses of their own. And if the gay rights side wants them to be available to represent them, and they need to go to Washington, they have to prepare for all these different things. Part of what they're looking for is some money to help that family during this very important time.
Well, you tried to talk to, for example, Lambda's Marriage Project. Their director did talk to you,
yeah.
But it seems there's a substantial disconnect between what she sees as having happened and what you're hearing from Dana. She said we were there supporting her, but Dana's saying, no, I didn't get that support.
It was a very significant difference. There is a brief that Lambda and several other groups, including several local gay rights groups in Michigan, signed on to back when the case was first starting up, that Dana felt was an effort by those groups to persuade Judge Friedman not to rule on gay marriage at all. In fact, what the side that wrote the brief says is that they wrote the brief because Dana's team wanted them to, and that the idea was simply to give Judge Friedman an option. If he didn't want to rule on marriage, he could still help the DeBoer couple by giving them adoption rights. I've not really gotten a clear answer on how the two sides could have such a different interpretation, but it really was telling of the disconnect.
And you got no response from the ACLU.
No, none.
Human Rights Campaign, no response.
No.
Equality Michigan returned a phone call, said someone will get back to you in...
It turns out they did, and we missed
we missed
the signals. And all they said, though, and it is worth noting, is that they feel they have an important role to play, and that when it comes to the question of fundraising, there's just not that much money. And this is an interesting question. You know, if you're in California or New York, you've got big gay groups, you've got very wealthy gay people, you've got a different set of people. This is a middle-class gay community in this state, just like just about any other community in Michigan. And there aren't that many gay millionaires there to just drop thousands of dollars. So the Ruth Ellis Center and the Equality Michigan and the Freedom to Marry groups, they're all scrambling for roughly the same very small pot.
So what do we take away from your story, Steve?
Things aren't exactly rosy in the civil rights movement. There are squabbles over money. There are squabbles over credit. It looks from the outside like an incredibly successful movement, which it is. Gay marriage is now heading to the Supreme Court, and by the time it gets there, it's already legal in 37 states. It's hard to figure out, like, depending on how you count. Sometimes success can spoil a group, and it's very tricky. What's important, though, is that this case is going to the Supreme Court. This is one of the four cases, and either Dana or one of her co-counsel are going to be standing before the Supreme Court to argue it. So if gay people in this state want to support gay marriage, it's probably important for them to support this organization. And by this organization, they've set up a 501c3 called National Marriage Challenge, which is where they are collecting donations for the legal team. It is important to note that some of the local groups have put out fundraising appeals that make you think that perhaps you're giving to the legal team when you're not.
They're kind of fundraising using the DeBoer cases kind of to fire potential donors up, but they're not putting that into Dana's hands.
You know, on that Saturday in March last year when all those couples were getting married in this state, I was at the Washtenaw County Courthouse covering all of it. And there were people with buckets collecting money. And people were just giving $5, $10, whatever they had. And the implication was that that money was going to help this case. But what helping this case means is confusing. And frankly, I've not yet been able to figure out, since I started working on this story, who that money was for. Like, nobody's claimed it. Nobody said, yeah, we were the ones with the buckets there. And I don't have any pictures to, like, go back and try to remember who it was. So it's curious. You know, we're not talking about a lot of money, but we are talking about money, and so that always gets ugly.
Steve Freese's story can be found online at Bloomberg Politics. It's titled, For Lawyers, A Rocky Walk Down the Gay Marriage Aisle. Steve, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me again.